What's this? A cougar and a ute sharing the same podcast? That can only mean you're listening to State of Sports Utah with Jason Stoll and Jake Lukla.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the State of Sports Utah podcast. My name is Jake, and I'm here with Jason.
Hey, how's it going?
Yep, everybody, it's time. The football season is upon us. Saturday to be played without college football has come and gone, and it is the most wonderful time of the year.
You made it, guys. Just right now, everybody that's listening, man, give yourself a pat on the back. You made it. We are upon college football. In fact, we should be speaking in the past. College football has happened.
That's
Saturday.
True.
Not a lot going on
as far as
marquee
games.
Matchups go. But man, it was way fun. I got together with some friends down in Utah County, and we
Jason
watched.
Please, you don't have any friends.
Not even you, especially not you. Why would I do a podcast with a friend?
Exactly.
We're enemies, actually. That's the secret.
Yeah, as we act like we like each other, but secretly, you know, we absolutely despise one another.
Big time. But yeah, it was a blast. We had a ton of fun watching kind of those no-name teams play, and we just had fun having college football back at any level. We were psyched.
Oh, absolutely. And this season, Jason, is a really interesting one, because for the first time, and possibly
new words,
the
being
only
invented.
Time in history and going forward, the state of Utah will be home and host to two different Power 5 conferences, the Pac-12 and the Big 12. Until, of course, obviously, Utah goes and joins the Big 12 next year because the Pac-12 imploded.
But, in case you missed that, you know.
Yeah,
again.
We did a whole episode on that, and, you know, it was only the biggest news in sports for, like, a whole
month?
Year?
a year of waiting.
Yeah, but it's the only time in history. I mean, which means this season kicks off what I like to call the Pac-12 farewell tour.
And we should put it out there, like, man, how disappointing is it that BYU and Utah don't get to play each other? Like, I was disappointed last season. You know, we didn't get the Jaren Hall Cam Rising duel.
Yeah.
It maybe wouldn't have been as good this season with BYU having a new quarterback and kind of, you know, a new system that comes with a new quarterback. But it still would be great to, frankly, shut up some fans that were like, well, if Cam Rising played, we totally would have won that game. It changed everything about, you know, the game, minus the fact that, you know, Utah needed a defensive line to stop Tyler Algier, who averaged like 8 yards a carry that game.
And I also think playing this year would also shut up a lot of fans who were like, we're the better team because we won last time, even though we've lost 9 in a row.
Well, that is how this works, Jacob. The last team
know.
That you...
I mean,
the last game holds the most weight. It's true.
I don't know, Jason.
And you,
I mean,
and you know,
I think the last large streak holds them. 'Cause, I mean, again, 9 in a row versus a streak, which it's not a streak if it's only one. A streak has to have at least two to be a streak. There's no such thing as a streak of one. That's just one victory. So, I mean, there's a 9-game streak and a fluke victory, you know?
Well, I mean, when we're sitting here next year and, you know, heaven forbid, but Utah beats BYU, the roles will be exactly reversed. You know this conversation
will be entirely different. I have held strong to this streak. It has to be at least two.
Oh, not the streak. Not the streak. Just the fact that, like, the most recent victory trumps the, like, compounding... I don't even know.
You know, Jason, I think you're right. When Utah wins next year, I strongly believe that that one will hold the most weight. I do agree with you there. But anyways, all jokes aside, unfortunately, Utah and BYU aren't going to play again this year. However, that does give us, as just kind of, you know, co-hosts of different teams and whatever, on this podcast to just kind of let loose and there be no kind of consequences to our predictions or our biases. So
yeah, look at us bringing conflict in when we don't even play this year.
Seriously. That's how you know the rivalry's already starting to heat back up.
Exactly.
Since the season's about to kickstart, in fact, it's going to start off for both teams this week. Why don't we both do just a quick season prediction, and then we'll get into, obviously, you know, the nitty-gritty of the coming games. So, me, obviously, I'll do Utah. I think the Utes are in for another really good season. We return a whole bunch of starters, lots of really great experienced guys. We did really well in the transfer portal. So, I think we're looking at a 9-3, possibly a 10-2 team. I think, obviously, a lot of things have to go in Utah's way for that to happen. You need to win at least two out of three different games, being, you know, at USC, at Washington, and then when Oregon comes to Rice Eccles, you need to win at least two of those three. And I think they can do it. I think they will win two out of those three. I think we get back to the pack. Pac-12 and repeat. Yes, I am going to be the homer. It just triples down on the hype train. I'm just going to do it. I did it last year and it paid off. So until it bites me in the butt, I'm just going to do it.
Hey, and you know what? If Utah, like, honestly, if Utah pulls that off this season, like, there will be very little doubts left for me to pry on as an opposing rival fan, right? Yeah. I mean, it genuinely would be an impressive season because, frankly, USC is better than they were last year. Washington, better. Oregon, better. It's going to be a tough stretch.
Oh, it's a stacked league this year.
Yeah, absolutely. The Pac-12 has, for its finale dying throws season, should have some exciting fireworks. And
oh yeah, it's a Hail Mary of a season.
Exactly. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how Utah kind of trudges through the schedule with those games falling.
Oh, absolutely. At USC and Utah has a lot of really tough games, I'm not gonna lie. But I think just with the returning talent, you know, obviously the fantastic coaching that we have and just, you know, the group of guys and the additional talent brought in, I really do believe that a Pac-12 championship three-peat is possible. And I know that makes me a homer, but I don't care because I am one. And I've never claimed to be anything as such. So, you know, I'm saying, you know, three-peat championship and another New Year's Six.
I like the optimism. That's what the beginning of this season is for,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. I mean, it's a blank slate.
So this is a debate that me and my lovely mother that we argue on all the time, and we have very different approaches to it. But I am of the belief that, like, it is way more fun to be a fan, to be a fanatic all the way. To think that you're going to win every game, to go into it like just absolutely pumped, and you get the highest of the highs and, yes, the lowest of the lows with disappointment fanning that way. But I can't stand the first play happens, oh, we're just going to lose. And that is my mom to a T. Any sort of big game, it's like, yeah, we're just going to lose. We might as well not even go. And it's... oh, it bothers me so badly. So you know what, Jake? Do it. Do it. Fan the way you want to fan.
I already did it.
It's happening. So, I mean, I shouldn't have prefaced. I shouldn't have prefaced my predictions here now with that statement, because now I feel like I can only say that BYU is winning the Big 12 and we're going to a New Year's Six game in our first season with the Big 12. I mean, that's all I can say now. I mean, I've set myself up.
I mean, that is a very ambitious goal, I think. But
yeah, so, I mean, let's be honest. While it is fun and every single game I will think that we're going to win, I will. Like, that is how I fan. But being realistic, I think BYU fans should prep themselves for potentially a rough year. If all of the pieces, you know, that we've put together through the transfer portal, you know, through development, recruiting, all that stuff, stay healthy, I think BYU can be a top half of the league team in the Big 12 this year. I think the talent is there. The issue that BYU is going to have, and that Utah, Jake, can attest for, is depth and for, you know, us to be able to maintain that talent level, not only in the beginning, you know, quarter of the season, which is pretty much all we've had to worry about as an independent. And, you know, when we hit those games in November, what is our rosters looking like? What is our depth at each position like? If we lose Keaton Slovis, you know, I think we're in some trouble, frankly. No hate on our backups, but genuinely, the talent that BYU has is shallow, and it's going to be that way for a minute while we, you know, build up our recruiting pool and start to kind of get on a more equal footing level with Utah as far as recruiting opportunity, which hasn't been there in the past. Like, people talk about a talent gap. I hate to use that term. I think BYU fans are sensitive to that term, but there was a recruiting gap. There is. That just inherently happened because Utah had better opportunities, you know, in a Power 5 conference. So it'll take some time. So BYU fans, just be ready for what could be a turbulent year if things, you know, play out poorly. But I think there is optimism and there's a lot of things that we can build off. So my prediction for BYU is an 8-win season. If we get to 8 wins with a bowl win, I would feel fantastic. I think it would be an exceptionally successful year for our first year, just given all of the depth questions, particularly on defense. I think it would be a pretty classic BYU thing to, like, drop a game that we shouldn't, like, maybe, you know, maybe Iowa State. Lost to
Kansas. Yeah, or Iowa State, yeah.
Right, one of those teams that just, like, is kind of a stinker team this year, and we end up losing to. But then we go and upset, like, at TCU, at Texas, or Oklahoma at home, you know, one of those games. That just feels like a classic BYU thing to do. I think back to the 2019 season, or even beyond that, like wins versus Tennessee or USC or Wisconsin. That I would love to see. Man, if we go in and beat Texas, that'd be, you know, phenomenal. So that kind of feels like it's prone to happen. So like I started out with, get bowl eligible, and I think you should feel very pleased, you know, getting to 7 wins, hopefully 8, with a bowl game. But it's going to be a tough stretch. The Big 12 conference, top to bottom, is no joke. Even those couple teams we talked about, Kansas, Iowa State, they're, like, it's going to be a dogfight every single game. So BYU's really going to need to rely heavily on their starters at some key positions. and see where that takes them. So
nice. I like it. I mean, hey, 8-5 is pretty on par with actually how Utah did in their first season in the Pac-12.
Well, and that's, it might be worth mentioning, I don't know if you have these numbers off the top of your head, but what were Utah's first three seasons? What were their record?
Okay, so the first season, they did get bowl eligible. I know that they got to the Sun Bowl and beat Georgia Tech. I know that right off the top of my head. And then seasons two, so 2012 and 2013, those are the bad years. Those were both 5-7 years. So right. Ineligible, and the only losing seasons on Kyle Whittingham's record.
Hmm. So yeah, I really think the trajectory that Utah took is something that I think BYU fans can kind of look to and brace their expectations on based on, you know, the kind of ramping up that Utah had to do to get ready for to like really compete in the Pac-12.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it is important to note that the first couple seasons, even if you have a winning season 1 year in the first couple, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're now on a you did it, you're now in there and it's all sunny skies from here on out, right? Because they had a winning Utah had a winning season in 2011, the first year they entered, and then had two back-to-back losing seasons, right? So, and I'm not saying that that will happen to BYU. In fact, I don't think it's an argument that where Utah was in the Mountain West, I think that's
is
a worse,
where BYU a worse is right position. Now. Right?
No, I think it was. I think Utah was in a worse position coming out of the Mountain West than BYU is currently coming out of independence. I think it's
agreed.
I think BYU does have an edge over that. Now, it's how big that gap is that. Is the question ultimately what will determine it. Also, there's the transfer portal, which doesn't necessarily fix a lot of your the depth issues, but it can. It is a good supplement. It's a Band-Aid. It's not the cure, but it is a Band-Aid, and you can hide problems like depth issues for longer.
Right, and
things like the transfer portal.
And BYU definitely has gone heavy into the transfer portal. This season grabbing, a quarterback, a starting cornerback, linebackers, they across the board, they really did quite well in the transfer portal. I think it was 24/7's transfer portal ratings had BYU at 18. Yeah, so 18th, ranked 18th in the country. BYU's transfer ratings for this coming season. So they did phenomenally, finding guys who weren't quite happy with where they were at and were looking for a change of scenery, but not just like the guys they got are talented. Harrison Taggart from Oregon was a hugely coveted prospect out of high school in Utah. Keaton Slovis absolutely has the arm talent and the tools, physical tools there to be an NFL quarterback. Genuinely, I believe that. So it's just a lot of it is systematic and positional fit, and hopefully that pays off with, BYU dipping into that as much as they did this offseason. So I thought it'd be fun to go and list the three games that we not necessarily expect our team to win, but the three games that we want our team to win above all the other games. What are, if we could guarantee three W's on the schedule, which ones would they be? So
I like
for BYU, I think my picks are a little, maybe a little different than most would expect. So little curveball. Or unique angle I'm taking, but First off, I'm going to start out with Cincinnati at home. First game in the Big 12 conference game.
Yeah.
Conference opener home. At that's, home. That, we do play Kansas game. The week before, but yeah. At home.
All right.
The still, fans are going to be absolutely rabid. That game is probably the game I'm most excited for. Just because of how good Lavelle Edwards Stadium is going to be. The energy is going to be off the charts. So it just would be great as a payoff to the fans that show up and bring that energy and excitement to give them a win and to say, like, we're here, we're in the Big 12, and we're going to compete. We're going to give our absolute guts out for you guys because this stadium is one of the best atmospheres west of the Mississippi, if not the whole of college football. So would love to see that Cincinnati game be a W. In fact, if there was a game realistically, I know that's not what we're doing, but realistically that I could guarantee BYU is going to win, it's that one. It just is. I feel like I could guarantee stamp one game. It would be Cincinnati at home for that Big 12 home opener. So my second game that I would pick is also a home game, Oklahoma.
Okay.
When is the next time we see an SEC team at home in Provo? Does Oklahoma ever come to Provo again? Probably not. Like in all reality, this level of an opponent coming to Provo, it's tough to get guys to want to come and travel all the way and play, in Provo. So it's a huge game in that regard. It's kind of one last kick to the pants to Oklahoma, Texas, as they, walk out the door and abandon the conference. And it would be awesome to give them a little SEC chant in Lavelle Edwards Stadium after a win as they walk out the tunnel and leave to
That would be really embarrassing.
It would be awesome. So that I think that would be great. And then the other one, of course, if we could win at Texas, of course, if we can win at TCU, it would be awesome. It would be great. I think those games are going to be really, it's really far-fetched to wish that. And so I said Arkansas was the other game that I wish I could guarantee a win. I think if you get those three games, you're really likely bowl eligible. It's a revenge game a little bit against Arkansas. We lost that game in Provo. This has the makings of, again, another classic BYU thing to do, which is get blown out, at home, and then go and, beat them in a surprising fashion the next time we play. Wisconsin is the most recent one that I can remember doing that, where we just, the year before we played in Provo, got absolutely melted, and I was like, there's no way we're winning this game, the next season against them, because their offensive line just handled us so purely. and we go in and win in Madison, and that was awesome. So that feels like a very classic BYU thing to do. So I'm going to say a win against Arkansas, and that would be a lot of fun. And again, to those three games, get bowl eligible.
I like the way you thought about that question, because it's a little different than I thought about it. I didn't think about it as in the steps to achieve the goals that I, the predictions I set. I thought of it more as, okay, if Utah was only going to win three games this year, and I got to pick all three of those games, which games would I pick?
That is very different.
Yeah. So a little bit of a difference, but all the same. So the very first one in top of my list, and I'm pretty sure every Utah fan will back me up on this, USC. I want a fourth win. I want to see Caleb Williams cry and make up another excuse why the Utes had his number.
Mess up his nails.
Yep, exactly. He can ruin his pedicure. I don't care. You know, I want to see it, and I want it done in the Coliseum. I think it'd just be a nice, you know, kick out the door. Hey, you know, even though we found a good landing spot, you know, in the Big 12, now the streak's at 4. And we'll probably, the next time we see you is probably a bowl game.
Yeah, so I like it.
Yeah, so
a little bit of my Oklahoma vibes there.
Yeah, very, very similarly. And just, you know, USC fans are just, they're annoying. So really great to shove it in their, you know, the crybaby Californias, shove it in their faces one last time.
I haven't really had to deal with, like, USC fans, but I'm imagining that they're the same exact people that are Laker fans. So,
oh, for sure.
I get it. That would be
absolutely
awesome.
I mean, they pretty much are, especially this last year and a half since Lincoln Riley got there. I mean, all the bandwagoners have shown up, and then
they've back.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Decided it's worth.
They were all very quiet during the Clay Helton years, and it shows. Anyways, so the next one, I also think Utah fans will back me up on this. I want Florida. It's a revenge game. We almost had it in the swamp. It was a Cinderella comeback that just ended poorly, you know, at the last play of the game. But we played them tough, even though we did everything we could to give it away. And we did give it away in the end. And so I want Florida. It's in 2 days. I want it. I need it. And, I genuinely think Utah will win against Florida. I genuinely do. And I know, like, you know, I'll probably say that about most every game this season. But, you know, I want that one. I want it. I want it. I want to shut up the Gators so that I can be like, oh, you guess you couldn't take the elevation. Or whatever, you know. And then for the third game, I'll admit this changed in the last couple weeks, because I at one point I had Oregon on here. At one point I had Washington. I even had Oregon State on here. But with Utah heading into the Big 12, and we just so happen to play a Big 12 opponent this year, I want to win the Baylor game in week 2. Right? I think it has such little consequence this season, but I think it will set the stage for Utah's arrival into the conference as a serious competitor, right? Especially even if Utah doesn't manage to get, you know, to the championship or get the three-peats or, you know, any of the lofty goals I've set, I think if they could beat Baylor, you know, which is a very respectable, usually a contender Big 12 team, I think it would really help set the stage going into Waco and, you know, coming out with a win. So those would definitely be my three wins if I could pick.
I like it. Well, speaking of that Baylor game, I think we're going to have a little differentiation.
All right, Jason, so what are your score predictions
in this next section? So I am going to predict, so first week, BYU versus Sam Houston, a W 35-7. Maybe your offense doesn't get quite as going, but you only give up 7 points late, hopefully. Utah versus Florida. This is a prediction, assuming that Cam Rising does not play the first 2 weeks of the season. That is what I'll say.
Okay.
The prediction would likely be very different if he doesn't, or sorry, if he did. But I think it's going to be closer than probably Utah fans would want or expect versus Florida, but I'm going to say 28-23, Utah wins at home. I think Rice Eccles carries Utah to a win without, you know, their starting quarterback. Okay. Why don't you give your first 2 week predictions and then we'll hit week two.
So I actually wrote down the same score for BYU versus Sam Houston, but not actually for the same reason. I thought it was like, well, okay, they'll score 21 points in the first quarter or the first half, and then they'll throw the second strings in the second half. They'll score a little bit. Sam Houston might get a lucky touchdown, and everyone will go home happy. And no one, and all BYU hopes to do is really just to come out without any injuries.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's like it. Yeah. I mean, that is the game that you're playing there, right there. So
yeah,
no surprises there. Utah versus Florida. I think Utah can beat Florida with or without Cam Rising.
I've seen your tweets on this. Mm-hmm. Your faith in Utah's backup quarterbacks is high.
It is. It is. just because Utah's done much better
in recruiting pig farmer
quarterbacks in recent years, and the dear old pig farmer can get it done, or Nate Johnson. You never know. Technically, it is still unknown who would play, even though depth chart did come out, and it does say Bryson Barnes is quarterback too. But they could always Kyle. He's weird. Anyway, that's not the discussion we're having. So, do we want to move on to week two? Because
you didn't give your score.
The actual score. So I put 28-20. I think Utah will win by at least a touchdown, but not much more. So I put
a
couple good defensive stops.
So that's actually fairly close difference to what I thought.
Yeah, so not a low-scoring game, but not necessarily a high-scoring game either.
Okay. Do you want to give your week two predictions we're on you right now?
Sure. Well, BYU versus Southern Utah. Again, an easy win. I went 42-3, just because, again, week two, the rust has come off after camp a little bit more. Probably, your defense hopefully, will be a bit better. And plus, I think Sam Houston is going to be better than SUU, obviously. So, and I don't think that'll be a controversial take here. 42-3. For all the same reasons, I gave the score for Sam Houston. And then Utah at Baylor. I can't have gone on this whole rant about saying how much I want to beat Baylor and then say we'll lose. But I genuinely don't think we'll lose. I think whether he plays in Florida or not, I think Rising will show up at Baylor. And I think we'll get a win. I think the Baylor game will be a little bit lower scoring than the Florida game. So I went with 24-17, Utah wins.
Okay. Well, there's our, BYU, SUU, I put 41-7.
Yeah.
Similar story. But I think that Utah loses in Baylor if they do not have in Waco, if they do not have Cam Rising.
Okay.
I think that Baylor is too good offensively for Utah to not have their starting quarterback to help them keep up. Like Baylor definitely had some issues last season. But you were there firsthand and watched that, BYU Baylor game, and Baylor is physical. They are nasty.
Oh, yeah.
They match a lot of the same, I think, traits and sort of traits that Utah aspires for to have this reputation. But they are an extremely physical team on both the defensive and offensive lines. I think they got better on their offensive line this season. Their quarterback looked really sharp against BYU. Granted, like a lot of quarterbacks looked sharp against BYU last year. But genuinely, I think Blake Shapen, right, is going to look is going to be even better given another year. And so that's going to be one to really watch out for, in my opinion, with the injury situation, because Utah's going to need their leaders to be able to grind and pound and keep up with, I think, keep up with Baylor. Because Baylor will match physicality that Utah brings on defense, and so it's can Utah's offense match that same energy and level on offense that Baylor brings on defense. Yeah. So I am predicting a loss, assuming Cam Rising doesn't play. I think it'll be close, but I'm saying 31-28. So there's our prediction.
That's your official prediction, right? You predict that Cam Rising won't play, and you predict that Utah will come out with a loss. Sorry, my bad. So obviously that's your official prediction, right? You predict that Cam Rising won't play, and that Utah will come out with a loss. But let's just play, you know, devil's advocate here. How would your prediction for the game change if Cam Rising did play?
I think it's still a pick'em. Still think it's probably pretty close, but Utah wins. Okay. I will pick Utah to win by a touchdown if he plays, lose by three if he doesn't.
Okay. All right. I'll take that. I think that's probably something similar to how I would guess. How I would also predict it. Something similar.
So is your prediction, assuming he plays, right?
I almost guarantee he plays. Really? I almost
guarantee. Because it's been 7 months off of his ACL tear?
Yeah, eight.
That's a rough turnaround.
And you know what? If anyone can do it, it's Cam Rising. I'm just the Utah homer in this episode, and it's really coming out. But, like, I don't know. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
He genuinely is.
Yeah, I mean, he's a tough kid, and, like, I'm full-on chugging the Kool-Aid here, and I know that. But I genuinely believe he will play in a couple days against Florida. I really do. I genuinely believe that.
Really?
Yes, I genuinely believe he will play.
There's a hot take, because I'm the opposite. I am like, he is not going to play in that game. I think there's no chance.
I almost think there's no chance he doesn't. I mean, now granted, it's not his choice, but it's the doctor's choice, obviously. You know, it's the doctor's call. But, like, I cannot tell you how my gut feeling tells me he's going to play against Florida. Like, I cannot tell you how strong it is. And
don't get me wrong, if he does play in either of those games, they've got to be so careful and so much better about handling his play. And he's got to be smart himself, because I think he takes a lot of unnecessary hits. True. But they got to be so careful, because the risk for re-injury coming off of that particular injury is so high.
No, I completely agree. And I think, luckily, I mean, Utah has a very strong running back room this year. And so I think no matter who the quarterback is, I honestly think Utah is going to lean a little bit heavier than they have in the last 2 years on the run game a little bit. And that's not to say, you know, Cam Rising will never be mobile. He won't ever have that dual threat that he has, you know, shown and relied on in the past couple seasons. But, I mean, I think no matter what, the run game is going to, you know, be a crutch because of its strength.
Well, you heard it here, folks. We've locked in our predictions. Feel free to come after us when I am completely wrong and Utah is just fine in both of those games. Or, if BYU wins by, you know, 60-3, then I severely underestimated what this offense is capable of. So feel free to add us, you know, at Spidey Stowe and at
JLEsquire
on Twitter. Thanks for listening, everyone. We are absolutely excited. Football's back. Couple days away, Utah's going to play, and then BYU's back, and it is so awesome to have football in our home state again.
It's a much better feeling to be starting this season at home rather than on the road. I know we both teams started on the road last year, and now both are starting with home games, and that just feels like a much more satisfying start to the season. It just adds to the energy. Yes, it does.
It adds to the energy.
It feels good for the soul. And just to piggyback off of, you inviting our listeners, I liked how last year we kept a tally of whose predictions were more accurate. So, folks, leave a comment and see to determine a punishment for the loser. I think that would be fun if we could get some good comments in here.
I don't know if I can agree to this because I was terrible last year.
Why do you think I want to do this? Because I know I'm better at predicting the future than you.
Well, we will see. We'll see. If someone comments that, I will consider it. And don't you go and leave a fake reply punishment question mark.
I've ever done that, Jason. Come on, don't accuse me of such things.
No burner YouTube accounts. No burner YouTube accounts.
As if. Come on.
Well, thanks everyone again for listening. We're excited. Go and enjoy this week. Get in some good football. Watch some games. I hope may your Saturday be blessed with no chores and no nagging wives and no responsibilities. And may you be able to sit on your couch and watch some football.
Happy gator hunting.
In the meantime, we will catch you in 2 weeks, and best of luck, everyone. Go Cougs.
Go Utes.
Thank you for listening to this State of Sports Utah production. SFX technical support provided by Samantha Knight.